Amen. And of course, I always have to ask myself, if it's so sweet, why don't I spend more time in prayer? Is it just me? Or do you also find it a labor to pray? Not so much for asking thanks on the meal, but I'm talking about serious prayer. When we seriously get in prayer to our God and thanking Him and petitioning Him. We know there's blessings from doing it, yet there's still a labor. It has to do with this flesh. It has to do with this flesh. This flesh does not delight in it. Well, take your Bibles this afternoon and turn with me to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians and chapter 5. And we've come to a portion of Scripture today where the wives cringe, the wives don't like it. And maybe even, hope not here, but maybe even some wives in our Baptist churches would say, well, you're just male chauvinist. I hope as we go through this that would dispel all of that. And that as we go through this, that you would see it is glorious. Now, on the other hand, on these three verses, the men would tend to rejoice and delight. But all I have to say is, men, your turn is coming. Your turn is coming. You see, because if we want to use the phrase in this passage of Scripture, no one is left off the hook. I take you back to verse 21. Submitting yourselves. That's to each one of us. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let's read these verses today. We're actually going to read verses 22 through 33. So we are going to take in the man's responsibility as well today, which be dealing with that in more in-depth later on. But in verse 22, an example of submitting yourselves. Now he begins to name them. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church, the relationship of the husband and wives are the picture Christ and his church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Husband and wives, as we said, are the relationship that they have one to the other. The wives submitting to the husband, the husbands loving their wife as Christ loved the church, are to picture the relationship that exists between Christ and his church. The instructions given here are God's commandments. They are God's commandments to husbands and wives. And his commandments are not heavy. They're not burdensome, are they? Turn with me to the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John in chapter 5. And we read here in verse 3 of 1 John in chapter 5. For this is the love of God. You love God. God loves you. Is that true? God loves you and you love God? Here is the love of God. Here is the love of God manifested by us, that we keep his commandments, that we obey his commandments, not just the ones we like, the ones we like to go seat on. It's not a pick and choose, but we keep all his commandments, we obey all his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. They are not burdensome, they're not weighty, they're not heavy. If you and I are truly a child of God, and we find that his commandments are weighty, they are heavy, they are burdensome, that is the flesh. But the Spirit, that which has been put in us by God, delights. Delights in doing His will. Delights in doing His commandments. One chapter in Scriptures that I invite you to read and to consider, and to consider often. If you think about the commandments of God being weighty, being heavy, is Psalms 119. The psalmist there tells us he delighted in the law of God. He delighted in His statutes. He delighted in His commandments. They were beneficial to him. And you and I, the new man, the new heart that we've been given, our spirit now being led by the Spirit of God, delights in the commandments of God. And to him, they're not weighty. They're not heavy. They're not burdensome. He instructs. By His Holy Spirit, He instructs, He directs, and leads us down an easy path, down an easy road. And the path is a path that is lighted. It's lighted by the Word of God. Psalms 119, 105. It's lighted by the Word of God. And it's an easy road. If we'll but follow Him. Look with me at Matthew. The book of Matthew in chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Jesus here said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You see, you're laboring under the commandments of God and under the condemnation of sin. And He says, "Come to me and I'll give you rest." Well, do you find it restful to obey the commandments of God? Do you find it a delight to obey the commandments of God? Do you find it that way? "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Obeying Christ and His commandments, we ought to find it easy. If we walk down the path that He has laid out before us, if we do just what He says, our experience will be a loving and peaceful experience. It goes back to that peace that passeth understanding. When we know that we're walking down His path, an easy road, when we know we're walking that way, it doesn't matter what trials and afflictions, persecutions come into our life. Peaceful. And it's loving. And that will be our experience. It will be the richest and fullest life imaginable. Back to the book of John. John chapter 10. Jesus said this. I think it's in verse 10. Yeah, verse 10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that my sheep might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly," to a fuller degree. Life in Christ Jesus is sweet. Life in Christ Jesus is blessed. Well, what a wonderful experience it is. What a sweet experience it is. What a rich experience it is. What a full experience it is. Husband and wives will have the companionship of each other as well as of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3. And verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and a man that getteth understanding. You see, we find wisdom. We find wisdom in the Word of God. Yes, we see the commandments of God, and that is wisdom. We know the commandments of God. We know what He's instructed us in. That is wisdom. And understanding is the doing. Those things that we see, of that wisdom that we have obtained from the Word of God. Chapter 28 of the book of Proverbs. Chapter 28. In verse 14, we read this: Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. What's that saying there? Happy is the man that feareth alway. His fear of God, his fear of the Lord, causes him to depart from evil, causes him to depart from sin. And sin is the breaking of God's commandments, the breaking of God's law. When wives don't submit to their husbands, they're breaking God's commandments. When men don't love their wives as they ought to love their wives, as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, it's breaking God's law. But because we fear God, wives, we submit to our husbands. And because we fear God, husbands, we love our wives. We love our wives in a manner that we ought to love our wives, as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. But he that hardeneth his heart, he that hardens his heart against the commandments of God shall fall into trouble. Isn't that where our world has come today? Wives will not submit to their husbands. Husbands won't love their wives as they ought to. And they've fallen on trouble. They've hardened their heart against the commandments of God. And our world is troubled today. Is it any wonder that we have children going into schools and slaughtering children? Because we've hardened our hearts against the commandments of God. So first of all, wives, submit to your own husbands. Husbands, love your wives. And your own wife. Turn with me back to our text in the book of Ephesians in chapter 5. Now we're going to center in on these three verses. And only because this is the order in which they're listed in our text. Probably if I was to do it, I would start with the husbands and then deal with the wives. But that's not the way the Holy Spirit led the writer of this epistle to start it off. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. And you get it. The church is pictured as a bride, as a wife, as a woman, espoused to the Lord Jesus Christ. So wives, and everyone, because everyone's to submit one to another, the word submitting, up in verse 21, that we looked at last week, and submit here in verse 22, are the same identical. They're the same identical Greek word. So this passage is teaching us that everyone is under the subjection of another. Began with verse 21. Every one of us are under subjection of another. Now, all wives, not any one particular wife, but all wives are to be in submission to their own husbands, this is God's will. This is His word. This is His command. It's not mine. It's not Seth Bourne. It's not a belief of the Baptists, only that Baptists believe the Word of God. And the Word of God commands it to be so. Now, a wife that is not in submission to her husband is not submitting to the Lord. You're not submitting to God. You're not submitting to His commandment. You're not submitting to His word. Turn with me to the book of James. In the book of James, in chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. That's every one of us. So we're dealing with wives. God has commanded this. We started that off with that thought in mind. God has commanded this. It's His instructions to us, to wives and to husbands. And so, if we're going to submit to God, then wives, you will submit to your husbands. Verse 10, it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. In due time, the Lord is going to lift you up. But now you need to humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, in the sight of God. You see, a wife that will not submit to her husband is not submitting to God.
She said, "Why do I have to submit to my husband?
I don't want to submit to my husband." What is that? That's pride. That's pride and rebellion. And he said, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord." See, so it's only as we're humble before the Lord, as we submit to God, we see what God's will is for us, and we are obedient to the will of God. Turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter, chapter 5, and verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Pastors, those under the pastors, yea, everyone, submit to yourself. Yea, humble yourselves, all of you. Listen, when I'm lifted up with pride, I'm not going to submit to you. When you're lifted up with pride, you're not going to submit to me. Wives, when you're lifted up with pride, you won't submit to your husbands. And not submitting to your husbands, you're not submitting to God. You're not humbling yourself in the sight of God. So, wives, if you're submitting to Christ, you'll have no difficulty, none whatsoever, submitting to your husband. Because you know that is the will of God for you. It is a commandment of God. And his commandments are not burdensome. They're not grievous. In fact, you delight in them. You're happy when you do. You've obtained the wisdom, and now you're doing it. That's understanding. And you're happy in it. And you do it because you fear the Lord. The wife acts out of love. She loves the Lord. Therefore, in order to please him, she submits herself to her husband because she knows that is his will for her to do. And because she loves the Lord, she willingly does it, submits herself. Therefore, to please him, she submits to her husband. She obeys the Lord out of love, and she loves the Lord, and she loves her husband. Have I said anything that's not true? And even if you've come to the place that you even doubt whether you love your husband or not, you do love the Lord, right? And loving the Lord, you want to obey him. You want to submit to him. And this is still his will. Whether you find yourself particularly fond of your husband or not. It was your choice, was it not? See, the wife voluntarily. Husbands, get this. She voluntarily and gladly arranges herself under her husband, caring only about his desires. Her desires, her goals. When she got married, she said, I'm putting them behind them, me, and I'm this man that is standing before me that I'm saying I do to. I care only about his desires, about his goals, his accomplishments. Now, you say, well, I can't do this. I ain't going to do it. Then you got business getting done. You shouldn't have said, I do. Because the minute you became husband and wife, you're bound by God, if you're going to please God, to submit to your husband. Turn with me to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. In verse 16, this is after sin entered, and his first words were to Satan, from verse 15, verse 16, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Husband is going to rule over you. Your desire is going to be them. What does that word desire mean? How am I going to please my husband? Your total focus and goal in life is your husband and pleasing him. Helping him to accomplish his goals, his desires, his ambitions in life. You say, well, that's pretty difficult. Turn with me, book of First Peter, in chapter 3. Verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wise. You say, whoa, hold a minute here. But my husband's a believer. My husband's saved. Well, continue to read. But just in case he weren't, and just in case he's not, you're beholden to submit. By your submission, you show to him that you're different than other women. Verse 2. While they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. You see, that spirit of humility and submission is in the sight of God, great price, great value. He put great value on it. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Not that their husbands were unbelievers. They submitted. Even as Sarah, consider Sarah, the wife of Abram. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, she called him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, as long as you do well, as long as you follow the example that Sarah laid, then you're manifesting that you're her daughters. In other words, that you're saved. You're manifesting a life that has been changed. And are not afraid with any amazement. Turn with me back to the book of Genesis again. The book of Genesis in chapter 18. This is the passage that the Holy Spirit led the Apostle Peter to refer to. Verse 12, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also. She didn't say Abraham being old also, but she said, my Lord being old also, my ruler, the one that I'm in submission to, being old also, she said. Consider this about Sarah. She journeyed with Abraham from the Chaldees to Canaan. 1,000 miles from her home, by the way they went, from Ur of Chaldees up to Haran and over to Canaan. And into Egypt, and back into the land of the Philistines, saying what he told her to say, I'm his sister, in Egypt and in the Philistines. They devised that plan. And doing what he bid her do, we never find her rebelling against him that I could find. In the 6th verse of this 18th chapter, and Abraham hasted into the tent unto Sarah, and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. This is after the visitors. The visitors were already there. God was already there. Abraham saw him afar off. He was in his tent door, and he saw him afar off, and he ran to him, falling down on his face before him. And he bid him to come in and to tarry with him and to eat with him. And he ran into Sarah and he told her, gave her these instructions. And she rebelled, right? Nope, I'm not going to do it. You can't just invite, bring guests in on me like that. I'm not going to do it. No, she didn't. She went and did as she was instructed to. And then after that, she calls him Lord. If you turn back to the 16th chapter of Genesis, I want to point something out to you. In comparison, Abraham, her Lord, how did he treat her? Never listened to anything she had to say? No, he listened to her. He listened to her opinion. Genesis chapter 16, verse 1. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, bare him no children, and she, Sarai, had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Oh, so he listened to Sarai. Now, Abram being the head that he was, being the authority, it was his responsibility to say yea or nay. No, we're not going to do that. Or, yes, we're going to do it. He listened to her, and he did it. It seemed like a plausible thing at the time to him. It was wrong. We know it was wrong. Shouldn't have done it. God allowed it to bring about an evil nation from the loins of Ishmael, Hagar's son. And I think Abraham realized in time that that was a mistake. Did he love Ishmael? No, he loved him. He loved him. Turn with me to the 21st chapter of the book of Genesis. And look with me here at verses 10 to 12. And I want to show you that probably at this point, Abraham realized the mistake, but he loved Ishmael. But listen, husbands, sometimes we ought to listen to our wives and weigh what they have to say. Sometimes the Lord speaks to us through our wives. Let's read this passage of Scripture. See if that's not so. Wherefore, she said unto Abraham, that is, Sarah said unto Abraham, Cast out this bondwoman and her son. I don't want Hagar and Ishmael in my sight any longer. He's poking fun at Isaac. I want him gone. I want her gone out of the house. For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight. Why? Because he loved his son. Because of his son Ishmael. He didn't want to do it. Listen, God spoke to Abraham through Sarah. And God said unto Abraham, Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. In other words, God to Sarah to speak to Abraham, and then God just avouched it. The word that she has spoken unto you is my word. And Isaac alone is the heir a promise. So, well, we're not through. We're not anywhere near through with this portion of Scripture. But I trust you take to heart the things we've already spoken and come next week with a heart ready to hear more concerning this subject of wives submitting to their husbands.